In the fall each year we all congregate, the vows all gathered at the church of tailgate. The scriptures reading from the book of Munson, our favorite verse, my God of precious. Drunk and obnoxious, we're Georgia faith, ain't nothing finer in the land. Now the 3,000 of our best friends, it's Saturday in that thing.
Welcome to the Saturday Night Athens podcast. I'm your host, Seth Saunders, joined as always by my co-host, James Kim. Homie, season opening bludgeoning at the Benz versus them Clemson Tigers. Clemson with a P, that is, folks. These people in the Palmetto State will holler at you about that. Anyways, I mean, look, let's just rip off the top, okay? They look dangerous, brother. That's my wife asked me, how the dogs look today? I said, them boys look dangerous. And that's kind of how I feel about it, because don't get it twisted, okay? That Clemson defense is real.
Yeah.
And that D-line is especially real. And I know the first half was tight, and we can talk about our opinions on that, but that game was never in question at any point or time. And I just think it's such a flag planter to start the season the way they looked. Especially on defense. And look, you and I have talked about this, and I'm real clear about how I feel on this. Clemson was not somebody that scared me, not somebody that they have some type of explosive athlete who you are scared of vertically or anything like that, right? So maybe we take some of this with a grain of salt, but I told you when I was leaving Athens after G-Day, I said, this defense, sideline to sideline, is as fast as I can remember. And I'm just going to put this out there into the atmosphere, okay? They looked, from a speed perspective, quite a bit like the group that took the field in 2021, okay? I'm not saying that's who they're going to be at all. So don't nobody clip that and say that. All I'm saying is, from a pure speed perspective, sideline to sideline, where they cover, how quickly hats get to the ball, homie, look real 2021. It felt a whole lot like when you and your boy were sitting in the bank.
Yeah.
That opening night in 2021. So I'll let you rip from there, but that's kind of where I want to start.
No, and I mean, the first half felt a lot like that game at, in Charlotte. It really did.
Yep.
But the difference was the Georgia kind of moved the ball in that game, you know, between the 30s at will, and then kind of hit a roadblock in that game. And in the first half, that's kind of how this was. But in that game, it kind of felt like they hit a wall. In this game, it felt like they shot themselves in the foot in the first half. Mental mistakes, drop balls, penalties, stuff like that. This game, they were, you know, as soon as they got rid of that in the second half, they just blew the doors off them. And as I texted you in my myriad of texts to you throughout this game, your boy had a great game, and it was clear that the plan was to get him involved early and often. Yep. And he didn't have the, he had the stat line that you didn't expect, and I certainly didn't expect. What do you have? Five catches?
Yeah, hold on. I'll tell you. I told you. I printed it out just so I would know for sure. He was the leading receiver from a receptions perspective. He was 5 for 56, 11.2 a grab. Different from what you and I would have prognosticated. Right?
And he had a run too, run for 7 yards. So I mean, six touches. That has to be a career high for him. I mean, he only had 8 catches all last year. So, you know, and if you don't know who we're talking about Arian Smith. That's Seth's been
my longtime boy,
tooting his horn for since he's been on the campus.
100%. That's my guy.
I think that speaks volumes about what they think of him and his progression as a wide receiver. And he didn't come out a whole lot. Like I noticed he was part of the main group of guys this week, which is big. So there wasn't a whole lot of rotation. They seem to have their core group of guys that they like, which is unusual for the Dogs. The Dogs tend to, I know there were a lot of people that caught balls today, but they tend to rotate, you know, 2-3 groups in and out. But it seemed like, especially through the first 3 quarters, until people started to get cramps and banged up, they pretty much stuck with 4 guys.
Yeah. I will say this about Arian too, and I kind of thought this at G-Day, and then obviously you heard and or read about things over the summer, but this ain't your mama's Arian Smith, right? Like, he's beefed up. And I think for a long time, Arian was straddling the line between a track guy playing football or is he a football guy that runs track type thing, right? And now he's a football player. He's built like a football player. They've added the weight on him. And I think that was the big difference for me and why he stayed on the field. So, yeah, it was great to see that because I do think he can be such a game-changing weapon for them and just adds a whole nother layer with what they want to do. Look, let's also talk about him. You talked about him kind of looked like they were muddling in the first half. I don't think it's any real secret what the difference was. The spark was Nate Frazier. That's the beginning and the end. Nate Frazier today was a revelation. That is the only way to describe it. He was outstanding. He changed the entire tenor of the game. You were texting me. It was cracking me up. Jimmy's texting me the whole game going, is he like Zeus and Sony or is it like?
Yeah, like who does he remind you of? Because he's a combination, a little bit of everything. And they kept saying Swift. And I understand that from the cutting perspective. But yeah. he's more physical than Swift, I feel like. At least at this stage of their career. Like Swift wasn't, you know, Swift got more physical as a junior. But, you know, freshman and sophomore, he was almost strictly a speed guy. So he reminded me a lot of Zeus with the power in the beginning and the jumping of, and this isn't just because he wore three, more of the jump cut ability of Sony early on and of Swift early on. So, but a lot of people are going to crap on Branson. Let's not forget the injury that Branson's coming back from.
Oh, yeah. No. This is in no way from Jimmy or I any type of indictment on Branson
yes,
at all.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, not at all.
I want to point something out. Did you, and you probably noticed this, and I want to go back and rewatch it, but I feel like almost every single one of Branson's runs going like in this game, and I want to go back and watch Branson in the title game against TCU. Branson reminded me more of a downhill runner. And I feel like he was trying to, like, run around people today. And or did you notice that, or is that just me?
I was thinking the whole day today, and this was something I was interested in, because obviously we've heard a lot and read a lot coming out of camp about him being ready and it kind of being miraculous that he is even on the field this early, right, given the injury that he had. And my whole thing was, and I think it's always this way with guys that have – a big time knee injury like that. You see the same thing, I think, in pitchers that are coming back from TJ is naturally, man, you're wired to protect yourself. And so I think it's only a natural inclination when you start taking live bullets, like, can I move like I'm used to moving? Like, can I put that foot in the ground and go where I want to go? And so, man, I think there's some of that. There has to be. That's why I have zero opinion on Branson playing. I think the only thing we should be doing is celebrating
that he was
in uniform and on the field today. I mean, dude, that's a victory. And not just for the fans, right? More importantly, for the kid. I'm thrilled for Branson that he's healthy enough to play and, like, continue chasing his dream. So I thought that was outstanding. I just thought, look, man, for a true freshman to come in and make the impact that Nate made – it's something to speak of in and of itself. But, and look, man, I cut it from the TV copy and I immediately texted you about it. But one of the cooler things I can remember seeing in a Dogs game is Nate scoring his first career touchdown. And what he does is honor the lineage, right?
Yep.
And combines two very, very famous and memorable celebrations. Obviously the Jazz hands from Sony and then the bow, which I know some people were citing Todd. I remember it most from DeAndre. I think I also remember Kendall doing it some. So, like, multiple UJ running backs have used it. And, man, I just thought, what a cool callback and a way to say, like, hey, boys, I've got the baton now, and we're still cooking. Like, yeah. I don't know, dude. I thought it was awesome. And, like, he has now skyrocketed into, like, one of my guys. Like, I just thought it was such a cool moment. And it was cool post-game, too. To hear guys on the team talk about him, and he is apparently very, very well liked, like very, you know, good personality, all those type things. So to hear guys talk about him, be happy for him, I thought was really cool. I want to stay on the offensive side of the ball. I want to talk to you about Carson. I thought the first half, and in general, boy, does he look comfortable, right? Like, yeah. Very, very in command. And, you know, used his legs a couple times today, which we talked about a bunch last season. It's a thing I don't think he gets enough credit for, but slippery enough. And I think that's probably the thing with him, is he can make it happen if he needs to. I think the only two throws he probably wants back the entire first half is the throw to Colby inside the 10 there. I thought, obviously, that wasn't like a wide open throw or anything, like tight window, but I thought Colby had good position. And I think if Carson had put it in a good pocket, that's a touchdown. And then the other one is the one to Dylan on like the deep dig, where if he hits him in stride, I don't know if he would have scored, but let's just say it would have been a huge chunk play. I think those are probably the only two throws he wants back in the first half. And I think he was kind of working with what the defense gave him. I don't think their plan, given what we watched, was to take a ton of shots. It just didn't look like that's what they were wanting to do. I think they knew our defense is something different, and they're going to have problems with our defense, and we don't need to do anything crazy. We're just going to methodically work through what we think we can do and see what hits. And, I mean, obviously, like we said, I think second half Nate was the big spark with all that. But they started to get more, I feel like, mid-range in the second half, and it loosened things up. Obviously, London has the big touchdown catch. I thought he did more stuff. I thought the play to the little pull, roll right, and the little flick to Arian where Arian got loose down the right sideline, I think was kind of a loosen-up moment too. That gave him a little bit of wiggle. But, I really liked what I saw. I think, you know, man, Carson just looks locked in. Like, it's comforting to have a guy who you're not even thinking about that position or having nervousness about that position. Like, you just feel good. Like, oh yeah, he's not going to make any mistakes. He's not going to do anything to hurt the football team. And that's what it was, man.
His two most impressive plays for me today, one was, and it resulted in not getting a first down on third down and got called back for a penalty. That play, let's talk about the third down play first. It was late first quarter, early second quarter. He has a linebacker right in his face, and he hits Bell coming across the middle. And, I mean, Bell's got somebody draped over his back. It's a 2-yard gain, but he sticks in there. He makes the play, and he gets pasted.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a sack last year on that play, most likely.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he just takes a sack and protects himself. Not saying he shouldn't protect himself, but to stand in there and give Bell a chance to get the first down on that play was huge.
Yep.
And then the play at the end of the first half where looks like he's getting ready to run, and then he, like, Bell springs free, and he hits Bell running down the right sideline, but we called for the OPI for Smith because Smith thinks Beck's running. I mean,
tough OPI call. I mean, it was the right call.
It was the right call. It didn't affect the play. It didn't affect
100%. Didn't affect
the play. But, I mean, that's a play that doesn't happen last year either. Like, it's just his comfort level. Like, you could see it last year as he got comfortable throughout the season, like his development, like how much more comfortable he is in the offense. And, I mean, I can't wait to see, you know, how it goes. But those two plays right there just showed me how much he's developed in the offseason.
If you were going to pick one word to describe the Dawgs defense today, what is the word that you would choose?
Well, I don't want to say fast because that would have been it. I would say angry. Angry.
Ooh,
They played angry. They played angry.
I like that. That would not have been my first choice, but I like that. I think there's some truth in that. For me, it would be suffocating. I thought they were suffocating today. The hats to ball all day was incredible. They're just we didn't see that all year last year. I will say that comfortably. Okay. They just weren't at that level, and I don't know what the reason for that was. I can't pinpoint that or answer that, but I'm just going to say this, man. They are going to be a problem, and they are only going to get better, which gets me beyond jacked up. And there are a lot of things I want to talk about performance-wise individually on the defense today. We'll talk about Malachi's interception, which was great and obviously so reminiscent of the opener against Oregon in 22, which we were at, and that happened on our sideline, his pick then. And I think happened on the exact opposite sideline today, which I thought in some ways was poetic. We'll also talk about Jalen Walker, who I thought had a big-time game today. 1.5 sacks, I think 6 tackles. I mean, had a big day. Great day, great day. But for me, the play of the game, I clipped it and posted it because I loved it so much, was the Mikal Williams on the drawn-up run for Cade Klubnik inside the 10-yard line. I mean, if you go back and rewatch that play, they saw they were getting man. It was the look they wanted. They motioned back to the wide side of the field, and it's a design run for Cade to the pylon. That's where he's going. And they had it manned up to block it perfectly. And if you look at the tape, two guys to block Mikal. And, dude, he made a grown-ass man play, blew it up, and it goes nowhere. And effectually ends that drive, which then the next play – He draws a penalty on the clip block, bringing the pressure to blow up that play. So two straight plays where you see a first round talent making an NFL play. So yeah, man, that's one that people probably won't talk about and people won't think about as, oh, that was a big play, but homie, that was a monster play. And like, just go back and look at it, especially from the replay angle that ESPN showed from behind.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You can just see it all come up. Like, dude, I was watching the game with my dad, and I saw a motion, and I looked at him, and I go, they got what they want. I said, they got the man here. I said, if they block this, he's gone. He's going straight pylon. And so, I don't know, dude. It's like, it's going to be – to watch him over the course of the year is going to be freaking incredible. So, I'm fired up to watch him progress. And, like, he's only going to get better because this is a new spot for him. So,
yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's going to be – outstanding. So put that out there for one. And also, he played after the clip, so I think that was just like a, oh, am I all right or not? So
he didn't play much, though. He didn't play much. He only played a couple of plays and they took him back out. So I would be shocked if we see him next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, dude, that's okay. They could play the whole third team next week and I think they'll be all right. But yeah, that one made me a little nervous. And then obviously when Dylan went out, that made me a little nervous. But he came back and he got interviewed post-game and seemed fine. So I think
his was cramps. They said his was cramps.
Oh, good. Okay. That makes sense. I feel like that building's hot. So, yeah. But, dude, I mean, let's talk about Malachi. The pick was – it was beautiful. It was like a freaking work of art. And high points it, beautiful catch. And it was almost a carbon copy.
It really was.
I put them both on top of each other to like essentially like see where it was and see where they high pointed. And like, I mean, dude, it was incredible just how similar it looked. And yeah, he's a freak. And did you see the article in The Athletic about him this week?
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude, you got to read it. So apparently I didn't know all this, but apparently his family was like homeless from I can't remember how long the time was, but it was not a short amount of time, a couple of years maybe, where they were staying in friends' places, staying at family's places, you know, getting hotels here and there, just to make it work while his parents were trying to make ends meet. And they eventually got jobs and are doing great now. But to kind of hear the story and hear how resilient he is and all those different things, man, it's awesome. And it kind of coincides with one of the stories that T-Rob told this week about T-Rob was talking about, I was trying to lose a little bit of weight and how Malachi was like holding him accountable and stuff. I don't know, man. So when you like see people like that are having success, I don't know, man, it's awesome. I feel great for the kid. So I thought that was a really neat moment. And then, I mean, can we talk about KJ?
Yeah, that was one person I wanted. Well, I want to talk about KJ. I also want to talk about Dalen. Let's talk about KJ first. Man, thrust in there, not really supposed to play. He's supposed to, you know, be the backup, but Aguero gets hurt, so he's got to play today. And basically, he didn't technically start, but he came in like the third play and basically played the rest of the game until it was not in doubt. So, and you know, with Aguero getting hurt, we had to move three pieces. So we had to move Dan, we had to move KJ and Malachi, because Malachi played star the majority of the game.
Yeah.
Then obviously not with the pick, but he played star majority of the game. That just shows how versatile he is as well. So, I mean, KJ, I mean, we talked about how talented he was, and it was only going to be a matter of time before he got on the field. But,
yeah.
Man, what he were, I mean, let's think about the 22 game with Malachi had. We were talking about him in the bins before he got on the field. Watch out for 24 when he gets on the field. Once he gets on the field, he's not going to come off. I don't know how you get KJ off the field.
I don't
like
either,
when Aguero comes back. I think Aguero goes back to star, but I think it's going to be KJ and Malachi at safety. I think he's going to take Dan's spot, and that's nothing against Jackson. He played great today. I don't see how you keep KJ off the field.
Yeah, man, I think it's just one of those things where talent's going to play, right? And he made a couple plays today that dudes make, and he's a dude. And yeah. I mean, that play he runs up like a freaking bullet and makes it in the flats was incredible. And then he almost chased down that deep ball in the back third, which
the throw
it looked like, yeah, it looked like when it left his hand, it was gonna be way out of reach. And he almost makes it and pulls it in. And it's like, you know, dude, having somebody like that on the back end is gonna be such a weapon. I'm glad you bring up Dalen. I thought Dalen had a good day. I thought the one catch on the sideline, and I tweeted this. It was just a magnificent ball and a magnificent catch. Like, I don't know what else Dalen's supposed to do there. So I thought that one was great. Was he also in coverage on the tight end number 9 when the tight end made the play?
The one-handed
catch.
Like,
makes the one-handed? Yep. Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah.
Those two catches, he's right there. He's almost in perfect coverage. There's nothing he can do in either one of those situations. So, but, you know, you have armchair coaches everywhere that are just, they see the fact that he got beat on both those plays and that he's still handsy, and the refs let them play today. They did let the defensive backs play, let them play on both sides. So I'm not going to complain about that.
Yep.
So with that, they see he got beat on those two plays and they're like, oh, I've seen enough of Dalen. You know, it's the same old Dalen. Got to get him out of there. I'm like, what do you want from him? He's in position, and they were great. The tight end made a great play, and it was a perfect throw by Cade on the other one. Really, the best throw he made all day. So,
100% was.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich. Mm. And a crispy golden hash brown.
Ooh.
And your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6. All just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
I mean, it was a great throw.
I feel like Dalen's just a punching bag for everybody. Like, if he has a bad game, fine. We'll be the first ones to say it. You know, we were hard on him last year, but I didn't see it today. Like, I thought he played a great game. I thought he played a good game.
I thought he played a good game today, too. I thought he looked good. I mean, I was very pleased with how he looked all day long. And I thought the other thing was I thought his body language was good. He just looked confident, which I never completely felt that way last year. I love that part.
I thought the secondary as a whole played really well today. And that was the biggest question mark on the defense. I thought the secondary played excellent.
I do want to put a pin in that piece, though, that I'm still going to withhold judgment. Because for me, Clemson was not the team that was going to test that. Yeah,
correct.
They're just not, man. That offense, and we talked about this, that's just not an offense vertically that scares me. They're just not. I mean, look, who's the kid, their leading receiver, what, Antonio Williams, that's the kid's name?
I don't know if it's Antonio, but it is Williams.
He had a good day. Yeah, I mean, good player. Dude runs good routes. I thought he had a nice game. He's the one that made the catch. So, Maybe he has a good year. I mean, here's the thing, dude. Freaking Virginia Tech lost to Vanderbilt. So the ACC is obviously wide open.
That's my pick to win the ACC. So
yeah, if you're a Clemson fan, I mean, there's nothing for you to really be upset about today, other than I'm sure they would have wanted it to be closer than it was, because that game was never in doubt. Not one second of that game was it in doubt. And I think that's what we anticipated, which we were both texting this morning. I did think it was weird that the line dropped down to like 12. It was, I don't know. That was bizarre.
The only thing I can think of with that is that they were baiting people to take Clemson to try to balance out the money that was all on UGA. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, maybe so, man. I don't know. It was that was super, super bizarre, though. Well, we shouldn't have waited this long. We're almost 25 minutes in, and we haven't talked about it. But let's give Peyton Woodring some love. I mean,
oh, man.
That 55-yarder was a boot, brother.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, dude. I don't care who you are. Pros, college, whatever. 55 yards ain't nothing to sneeze at. Like, that is that's a kick, homie. Like, good for him. And he didn't look phased at all. He stepped right up to it and let it rip, and let's go, baby.
And it had a lot more distance on it. It probably, you know, I mean, I know it was tight to the left upright, but it probably, the kick was probably 65 yards.
I think that ball had a little yellow paint on it after it got done. I mean, it squeezed in there. It was tight like a tiger getting in there for sure.
And I mean, Thorson had another great game. I mean, our special teams, our kicking game is
outstanding. Excellent. Yeah, outstanding. I also loved, you will appreciate this. Did you see the punt formation where he shifts over behind the up back and they do essentially like a horizontal snap? I was like, can somebody give the long snapper some love, baby? Yeah. That was beautiful.
Yes. I love that. Like he goes to the right. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I loved it. So dude, special teams look great. I thought Anthony Evans was a good returning punt. I mean, I think he will be a weapon when it comes to special teams. And I'm trying to think what else I wanted to talk to you about today. Let's talk about the O-line. So Truss got a lot of run today. Monroe Freeling, IOP stand up, got some run today. I didn't really have any complaints about the O-line outside of I thought in the first half Clemson's D-line was asserting themselves a little bit. And I think some of that is probably just, you know, dude, the first half of the season opener, I always feel like it's a little bit of a crapshoot. I think everybody's kind of getting their sea legs a little bit, but I'll kind of leave you to talk about that because that's a little bit more your speed than mine.
I feel like the O-line is going to take a little bit of time just for the simple fact that this O-line is going to be a lot like last year's O-line. It's going to be a lot better in the second half. They're just because they're bigger O-line, they're gonna lean on you. And by the second half, they're just going to wear you down. And it's going to be a lot like Georgia's O-lines under Richt. Bigger, heavier. They're going to be the O-lines like that was like several years ago under Luke, which are more small, a little bit small, lighter and more athletic. These are big boys.
They're
not, you know, they're going to eat, so to speak.
Yeah.
You could kind of see like once Clemson doesn't have depth on the D-line, they don't rotate a lot of guys. I think they rotate five, maybe six. So they got tired in that second half, and I mean, we exploited it.
Yeah.
And I did like the fact I didn't see Micah a whole lot today, which was surprising. I think other than maybe Truss and Freeling, we're going to stick to those rotating the right tackle. Maybe in other games we'll see the guards rotate a little bit more, or maybe Micah's banged up. I don't know. But we didn't rotate him as much as we did last year.
Dude, I think this is the other piece that kind of excites me about all this is obviously Nate having the big day was awesome, but we're also, I think, burying the lead a little bit. Like, dude, ATN didn't even play today. Like, the number one running back didn't even play. And it has been, I don't think it's a stretch to say, rave reviews from everyone associated with the program about how he has played. And so you talk about adding that weapon back into the mix for the offense. It's just like, man, if they can stay healthy, they got an opportunity to be something really, really special, I think. Because I also think, too, that they're just going to get more comfortable. And I think the coaching staff is going to get more comfortable with what guys can do in a game situation. I think that's part of today too, is you got coaches going, you know, who can we trust? Like who can I call this 3rd and 7 for? And who can I trust to pick up this blitz? Which Kirby mentioned that post game about Cash Jones. Yeah. Having a huge blitz pickup, which I thought was great. And he's of course, absolutely correct. And something we've talked about a bunch in the past with running backs is it's not always what you see in the box score with the running backs, especially in Georgia's system. It's not just about rushing yards, catches, all those things. It's like, hey, are they going to be able to pick up the protection shift when Carson makes an audible at the line and all those type of things? And so all that stuff matters. And those things can turn a game, and you might not even know that it was something that went wrong. So that was that's something I'm excited to see, is that as he comes back, which I assume he'll be back next week. Kirby was a little, I think, non-committal on that. They asked him, was it just going to be a one game suspension? He said, well, could be. And so, which, I mean, obviously it does not shock me. Kirby Paul Smart isn't exactly forthcoming. That's part of what I love about him, but I think that's just part of the drill. Right. And so we'll see on that, but how about anything, anything else, man? I mean, I, you know, no turnovers, which is great. Had 7 penalties, which I feel like is a little bit uncharacteristic. Obviously, like we talked about, some of them are weird, like the OPI on Arian. That's just kind of a, I don't know, that's kind of a freak thing. Time of possession was good. They held it for 32 minutes. Third downs were just fine. They were 4 of 11. 447 total yards, 278 through the air, 169 on the ground. So pretty balanced. They were like 6.2 yards per pass in the first half, and it jumped all the way up to 8.2 for the game. So obviously a much bigger second half. I just think they looked a lot looser. Things started to open up. So I don't know. I'm missing anything on that? Like the game in general, anything we should talk about?
I think we'd be remiss. I mean, it's not going to show up on the stat sheet, but C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson were all over the field all game long. I mean, they're not, like I said, it's not going to show up on the stat sheet, but they were everywhere. Raylan, everywhere. I mean, Jalen Walker's going to get all the love because of the 2 sacks, and he led the team in tackles, but the others were just, I mean, I felt like every play, especially in the first half, C.J. Allen was in every play. And in the second half, I felt like Raylan Wilson was on in every play. Like, I feel like all I saw was 3 and 5 everywhere, all game long.
Yeah, man, I told you this.
Yeah, I know, back last week. April and last week.
I told you in April, and I'm just going to say it, it ain't just a number, but my man C.J. Allen got some Montezuma missile in him, brother. Like, he is – it's like Roquan reincarnate. That's what it felt like watching. I mean, just – CJ is going to be the guy, and like, he is only going to get better as the season progresses. Yeah. I think kind of the way Roquan was in 17. I mean, I think the way he evolved over the course of that season, I think you're going to see the same thing with CJ. He is just, he's going to be something else, brother. And yeah, to your point, Raylan played great. Raylan was flashing everywhere. And yeah, man, that linebacking core, I'm just so fired up about. And look, I told you, I had questions about the D-line, and if there was a dude, and you reassured me, you know, dudes by committee, right? And so I thought they looked good today. They looked good at the point of attack. I didn't think they were getting blown up. I mean, dude, Phil Moffa had a super marginal day. They didn't really
3.9 yards a carry.
Yeah, they didn't do much running the football at all. I thought the pressure was good all day. I thought the linebackers had – pretty much free reign to roam around. They just didn't have a lot of bodies on them, so, which is a testament to the D-line. They're doing their job. So I thought all that was good. So I'm excited to kind of see how it progresses. I think if you're looking at this as chapter one of the 2024 book that's being written, you got to feel excellent about how this thing's starting. Just not a lot of blemishes coming out of today. And then obviously next week, home opener, but God knows that'll be one of them games where you and I try to set the spread ourselves because Vegas doesn't even want to put a number on it. So, that is what it is. And then I think spicy little matchup after that, going to Kentucky, and then off week before playing Alabama. So September going to be an interesting month. We're obviously going to learn a lot of things, but as it comes to opening weekends, smashing success in every sense of the word, if you ask me. So I feel excellent about it. I think you feel excellent about it. I think we would be remiss not to talk about Florida getting the doors blown off them in the swamp today by Miami. Like, Cam Ward just lit them up all day long. And I sent you the video, but I could not stop laughing of after like their fourth touchdown, the receivers, they both in unison do the gator chop, yeah. And then they both just go and give like an emphatic thumbs down. Oh my God. I thought it was hysterical. I laughed so hard. It was just such a funny, like, I don't know, funny celebration.
No, it was so spectacular. Yeah. Florida getting dump trucked is always a good thing. And, you know, Graham Mertz going to challenge Carson Beck for the best quarterback in the SEC, supposedly. 11 for 20 for 91 yards and a pick.
Tough day for Graham Mertz. How about, dude, our buddy Jason Hasty sent me this. How about Matt Berry apparently tweeted that the Florida coach that was fired before Billy Napier, and I'm going to mess up the stats. It said something like went to three straight bowls and played in a New Year's Six bowl or something like that.
I have it right here. And then went to three straight New Year's Six bowls. Okay. The prior coach of Florida went to three straight New Year's Six bowls, and then the fourth year he didn't and was fired. And then Dan Mullen retweeted it.
Darth Vader himself retweeted it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It was crazy.
Things are going well in Gainesville. I couldn't happen to a nicer bunch. I am just couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I don't think – do you think he survives the year? Do you think they actually give him the full year? I don't think so.
I don't know, man. Who knows? I know the buyout is not great. I mean, I think he's owed quite a bit of the money if he gets fired.
This season, this schedule is brutal. There's no, I mean, I think maybe four wins if they're lucky.
Yeah. Dude, they're not good. They are not good. Like, I don't know how good Miami will be or not be. I mean, obviously Cam's going to be awesome. And I think he gives them a shot in the ACC just because he's probably, I don't want to say the best because it's been 1 week, but let's just say he is in the top three, maybe even the top two, for the most electric players in the ACC. And so because they have him, if he stays healthy, they got a shot. And, you know, I mean, we watched Florida State last week. I don't think anybody's scared of DJU leading Florida State, right? It's essentially the same movie that we saw at Clemson and Oregon State. It's just – I don't know, man. Not a game changer, in my opinion. And that's just one uneducated guy's opinion. But that's kind of what it is. Tech – dude, I mean, Tech was people's, like, talking about Tech going to the playoffs. Virginia Tech, I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they were my pick to win the conference. So –
yeah,
that would put them in the playoffs, and I mean, they still could win the conference.
They could.
100%. They still could win the conference.
100%. Yeah, I'm not. I think if the ACC has taught us anything over the last decade, it's that early season results do not matter.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, maybe that's unfair. Maybe that's unfair. I mean, Clemson did dominate that conference for a good period of time. So maybe, well,
let's say last five years.
I think, yeah, that's probably more fair. Last five. Yeah. We'll go with that. Couple good games though. I mean, Notre Dame's kicking off now.
They're playing. Yeah, they're on right now. It's 3-3 with 6 minutes left in the first.
And the LSU USC game's tomorrow. Is that right? Tomorrow night?
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Monday night's Boston College, Florida State. I don't know why that's tomorrow. Or why that's Monday.
Hopefully that'll be a get well week for Florida State.
You'll appreciate this because, you know, you're nuts like I am. So I was so excited for football to be back on Thursday night that I watched all of the Colorado North Dakota State game.
I watched a good bit of it too.
But that's not what you're gonna be happy about. I stayed up and watched all of the Minnesota UNC game.
Love it. Love every minute of it. Row the boat.
No. They lost, by the way.
I know.
But this is how psychotic it was, okay? Big storm comes in through here, okay?
Yeah.
North Carolina's Minnesota's driving for the win. Like 2 seconds left or 4 seconds left in the game. They're lining up for the kick. North Carolina calls a timeout. My satellite goes out. It's on Fox, so I can't pull it up on my phone. Because I'm sitting here and I'm like refreshing Twitter like crazy. I'm like, I stayed up all night to watch this game.
I have to know.
I have to know what happens.
Yeah.
So And then they missed the kick, and I'm like, all right, I can go to bed now. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning of this, you know, Big Ten versus ACC game that I don't care about at all, but I'm so invested in it.
It's so emblematic, I feel like, of like needing the fix after 8 months. Like,
yeah,
I was watching Colorado North Dakota State like it was the first round of the playoffs.
I know, I was rooting so hard for North Dakota State. Like,
dude, they looked good.
Colorado still has nothing on either line. Their lines suck.
Dude, their defense is real bad. I did think it was great. Did you hear the announcer say they were talking about the 12-team playoff, and the announcer goes, North Dakota State's just telling all you guys, welcome to the party.
Oh, that's great.
Which has two FCF guys I appreciated. So,
yeah,
that was good. But, dude, they're going to be, as they always are, they are going to be a problem in 1AA this year. Like, I think they could make the jump, and I don't think it would be that big of a stretch at all for them.
I don't know why they would, honestly.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, I don't think economically it changes anything for them. I mean, maybe, yes, you would get a piece of a TV deal, but my thing is I don't think they care about that. I think they're perfectly happy to have the program they have the attendance they have in the environment that they have it, and compete for national championships every year. And I don't blame them. Like, dude, they got a good thing going.
Trust me, so, I wish JMU would have stayed. I'm still aggravated they came up.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I guess that is the rub, though. Because, see, I could make the other argument based on JMU's season last year and, like, what a fun run that was and, like, doing it at the high level. So, like, you know, I get both sides of it. And I'm sure JMU is making money. Like,
The money aspect, but there's never going to be a time in my lifetime where JMU's going to compete for a national championship again.
Oh, don't say all that.
Dude.
They could feasibly, this is not a stretch, okay? The way the structure is now with the group of five, dude, they would have been in the conversation last year.
To make the playoff, yes, to make the playoff and get dump trucked like Liberty did in the Fiesta Bowl last year.
Well, I'm not, you got to give the boys some time.
Well, that's a conversation for another day, but let's be realistic. I'm much more realistic when it comes to that stuff, so
Least shocking thing ever. Yeah. Me taking the optimistic position and my boys staying on the line of pessimism.
Yeah. So, hey, I would be happy with a playoff berth, honestly. Like, if they ever get the playoffs, I will be jumping for joy. And knowing my luck, Georgia will be the 5 seed and they'll be playing each other. That's what will happen. You know that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on you. That's a conflict I wouldn't want to have to straddle. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Before you go, I'm going to ask, give me your player of the game. Who would you give all the helmet dog bone stickers to tonight?
I think it has to go to Nate. I think it has to.
Yeah, I think I'm on that boat too, man. It's hard not to, just because of the spark he gave, and it's just also hard for me to look past the celebration homage. Like, that was, God, it was so good. I'm just more excited about that than someone should be excited about something like
that. When you texted me, I went back and rewound it, and like, I went nuts. Like, and you know,
dude, I literally, in the moment as it was happening, I could not get my phone out quick enough. I was like, oh my God, I've got to tape this and post it just in case nobody else noticed. Like, I'm sure somebody noticed, but just in case nobody noticed, I have to post this out into the world so that people will recognize how awesome this kid is for doing this. So I was, pretty fired up about it, just because it was really, really cool. And I thought too, like, such a cool callback if you're a fan, because I don't know, man, it was cool, really, really cool. So big ups to Nate. That was real. He's a real one. All right, homie, that's all I got. Just wanted to chat about it with you. For once, they play a super early game and like an important game, and we got some Saturday night time. We can rip about it. So just wanted to get on and chat about it. We'll hop back on later in the week and do some previewing for next week. Talk about college football's big games too. Some good stuff going on week two, man. The party's rocking. You know what I saw today, which nobody would be excited about but me, the Cy-Hawk trophy next week, brother. Already. Iowa State week two. Let's go.
That is early.
I love me a trophy game.
I want the under.
Oh, yeah. Give me the under, faux show. You sign us up for that right now. Yeah. That's the one time it's unders only, baby. All right. Well, we are so back, homie, and I am so fired up about it. I was like a little kid on Christmas this morning. I was so excited to wake up and just know that for 3 hours I was going to have previews of football on, and then from 12 till I fall asleep tonight I was going to be watching football. So, yeah, it's awesome. I'm jacked up.
Greatest time of the year.
Greatest time of the year. You got that right, homie. All right, man. Well, we'll talk soon. And until then, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Hey, Georgia's better now.